All right, guys, welcome back or welcome to the Defining Endurance Podcast. I am your host, Coach Andrew Simmons. And today, you guys are joining me from the basement, my office, my place of thinking, my place of thought. And I want to talk to you guys kind of through the idea of regression. I think that this is where we can really kind of struggle as athletes, because whenever we feel like we've slid back, it's very hard for us to think forward. We kind of get stuck in this limbo. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been someone that's struggled with an injury. Maybe your work schedule or other things have gotten in the way of you achieving a goal. But then when the time returns and the ability to return to training comes back, it's really hard to kind of shift back into that training mentality that you felt like you had before. And we're always kind of viewing everything from the back seat instead of the driver's seat. And eventually we do get back there, but that middle position is very difficult. And some people never leave that transitional space, that space where we're training and, you know, we're not quite at our former best. And maybe we'll never achieve that former best again. And training isn't quite as enjoyable. It's not coming quite as easily. You may have that mental thing in the back of your head that tells you, are we ever going to get there? What if I never do? And right, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of aversion of, oh, I don't want to lose. I don't want to feel like I've regressed. I want to feel what it's like to win one last time. I want to feel like training feels easy again one last time. So today we're going to talk all about the idea of regression. We're going to talk about how do we really recover from it? How do we move forward? And what's really there? So if you guys are joining me on YouTube, or if you guys are joining, listening via the podcast, really excited. This is a 100% solo episode today. I'm going to be reading from my notes, kind of some thoughts I've had. I've recently finished up one of my running form clinics. And in that, we talked a lot about this idea, because a lot of people come to my running form clinics to get faster. And it's this idea that, you know, most people show up because they're either truly inquisitive, or they've bounced back from an injury, or they're trying to not get injured again. But in there, there's always some fear. There's this thing that I find in working with athletes, that we are either motivated by success or by failure, or the loss of either, right? If you're on top, you do not want to lose that. If you've just started to come back into your training, you sure don't want to lose that either. So without further ado, let's really dive into today's episode. So I want people to understand that there is recovery and then that there is regression. When we think about training, right, I want to give you guys kind of this mental position, is that let's say you've just achieved your best marathon or your best race. Afterwards, what's the first thing that you do? You recover. You take time to let your body recover from the big event, right? When we think about tapering, we're actually letting that body recover so that it can then achieve its highest potential. But what we don't really view is that we don't view this recovery on a macro scale. We never really look at it from a big view, is that you may have periods of months or years of recovery before you can then shift into this idea of training at a high level again. You know, you may go a period of years without having a PR, without, you know, really getting back to quote unquote where you were. And those feel awful. But inside that, what's really happening? Are you starting a family? Are you, you know, climbing the ladder of, you know, success? Are you doing more with your life than you ever have before? Again, where are you really climbing and where are you achieving, right? And it may not be on the track, on the marathon, right? There's times of life that our focus must shift. Here's the big thing that I want to get across first, is that there is recovery and there is regression. Recovery is a very intentional thing. Regression, and where it gets very difficult, is that it is either within our control or is out of our control. Regression often, and when we use the tone of regression, it comes across through injuries. It comes across through loss. It comes across through My schedule got in the way of something. It could have been a single moment. It could have been a car accident. It could have just been, oh, I've got post-tibial tendonitis now, and I have to dial my training back. I have to take a step back, right? And we always say, you know, one step back so you can take two steps forward. But where people get lost in that is that we tie it so deeply to our sense of self. We tie it to how we view, especially when it's out of control, that we are losing and that we are less and that we are not as good of people, as athletes, as everything. We tie it so deeply to who we are, right? And for better or for worse, right? Some of the best athletes, it looks so easy, and they don't have to maybe, we feel that they don't have to try as hard because we're viewing it from a different point of view. We've shifted our point of view to now say, so-and-so is doing better than me because I'm seeing it on Strava. I'm seeing it at the finish line because they're turned around before I even get there, and they're the one cheering me in. Oh, and they hate it. And we let that say something about ourselves and our self-worth. And the reality is that it has nothing to do with that. We have just tied our sense of how well we do in our races to how good of people we are, because we've tied that. Okay. So what I want you to understand is that at some point as an athlete, for you, it was always about just finishing. This was one of the greatest things that came out of the last class we had, is that I have a newer athlete in that, and she was just happy to be finishing. You know, they were just looking at it from a standpoint of, I'm going to go to this race and I'm going to finish. I don't care if I hit a 15-minute mile, 18-minute mile. That number on my watch doesn't really matter. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are athletes that are like, oh my God, if I saw a 15-minute mile and an 18-minute mile, I would walk off the course. That's below my level of acceptance for myself. Neither are wrong, right? Because there is, in a sense, that someone says that that is my level of self-standard, and that if I'm not hitting my self-standard, I might as well just walk off the course. And I can understand where that might be, but I don't think that's the healthiest position to be, right or wrong. It's not my choice as a coach. But I think the latter, the person that says that's my self-standard and if I hit that, I'm unwilling, it means that they've hit some sort of abrasion. They've run into some wall. And one of the things I talked about in this last class is that as we progress as athletes, right, and we think always behind ourselves, and it's very hard for us to look forward, is that as we look back, we always just kind of eventually, you know, got to these points where maybe you did a 5K, and then it was a 10K, and then it was a half marathon, and you just wanted to finish, and you were happy. You were happy just to finish the race. And then at some point, you hit your limit. Maybe it was the marathon. Maybe it's 50K. Then you started asking yourself, what do I do now? And usually that turns into, well, I want to know how fast I can go. That's usually where I come into the picture as a coach, is people, they might wander around, they might try a static training program, or you know, they may work with a group, and eventually they kind of run into their next snag, right? They hit a wall, right? And that wall is about getting faster, but it's also about, you know, it got a little taller, and maybe they got over it the first couple times, but then ultimately we hit a wall that we can't quite pull ourselves up over. We don't have the strength, the knowledge, the ability to be able to do it. And it's not always about going back to square one. It's about, how do I get more knowledge of my sense of self? What's actually happening? Maybe it is a mechanical thing and you do need to improve your running form. Maybe it's a better understanding and knowledge of race day nutrition and all the nutrition leading up to it. Maybe it's just building better fitness, that maybe you just kept training and training and training and did forget to go back and actually rebuild a base and rebuild all of the small things so that you could level up. Because the way that I look at fitness is that if you build a lot of fitness, right? I've always used the terminology of a bigger bucket, but in this case, I want you guys to think of, you've grown taller and smarter. And when you've grown taller, when your ability is very big and you've spent the time to slowly build yourself up, that wall that you couldn't pull yourself up over is no longer the wall that you're looking at. That's the one you step over. Now you're looking at a wall at eye level and saying, okay, I just have to execute and push myself over this, and I'm going to be good. I'm ready for this. And I'm ready to handle anything that comes my way. Because that person that's grown, that personal growth that happens when we have to confront some of those ugly things, those uncomfortable things, they're very small and usually very momentary, but we have to callous ourselves to handling them over and over. And this idea for me comes in the form of self-doubt. A lot of us, and I think of myself in this even, we struggle with this idea of sense of self and that discomfort, and we have to bridge that gap and say, okay, I have to be prepared to handle what's going to come my way today. For me, for a long time after my first stress fracture and then when I broke my navicular, I had to really just kind of get myself back into this mindset of like, I'm willing to hurt again. I'm willing to go out there and push myself and challenge myself and not be afraid to get back into a workout, because for a long time, I struggled with not seeing the times that I wanted to see. I struggled with comparing myself against what I was. I was even struggling to compare myself to my own potential of what I thought I could do. Right? This may have been a sub, 237 or 235 in the marathon for me. And I'd run 113 and a half right before I had a stress fracture. But you know what happened? The year that I got that stress fracture in my foot, same year I ran 73 minutes and a half. And then you know what? We started a new business. We bought a house. We got married. What do you think? Do you think I had some life stress? Do you think I had some other things in my life that may have been shifting me? Do you think I was sleeping enough? Do you think I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of thoughts. There was a lot happening in my life at that time. And I've talked on this podcast before about the idea that our bodies see stress in one direction. And so if we've had this acute load of stress or multiple events of stress in a very compact time frame, and the outcome is an injury or a setback, we can always look back, right? Hindsight is always 20/20, and say, man, I was training really hard, and no wonder that happened. I've got no curiosity in my brain about, oh, what happened there? Yeah, I was under a lot of stress, but I wasn't allowing myself that recovery time that I needed. And so what ultimately happened after that is it was a forced regression in my training. And I feel like I have slowly started to kind of chip away at that. But when I first got excited about being able to start training hard again, you know what I did? I jumped in way too hard. I jumped in and I said, okay, we're going to get back to 60 miles a week. We're going to pound this thing out. I am just going to just train my way back into fitness. I'm going to, do some hard workouts. And I just started hard. And I'm a coach. I should know better. But it's very hard to put yourself, again, in that driver's seat and say, hey, dude, you got to control this. Or even give someone else the control, right? Sometimes hiring a coach is the best thing for people because they give up that control. They don't have to worry about it anymore. They just follow the plan and do what's told. They get asked some really good questions about how training is going. And then that is actually how they move forward, because they had to give it up because they were binding themselves too tightly with their expectations. And so what I want you guys to understand with this is that I believe in this idea, and maybe someday this will be a future book and thought idea, is I believe in this idea of what we call the luxury of control. And it's this idea that when we are the ones, the people that are controlling something happening, right? It feels great. If I said, I'm only going to do 20 miles this week. I need a rest week. I need to let myself kind of absorb the training. It's okay. That is where we feel that we are best, because we are in the position of control. We have the luxury of control. Do you know what we hate? That same 20-mile week, if it's because of work, if it's because of, family, if it's an injury, something small even, and we only got 20 miles that week. One side of us, the side that has the luxury of control, that says, I'm the one that's in control of this situation, that same 20 miles feels way worse when it's something else that's intervening in the way of our success. And ultimately, It's that little point, that little shift, right? It's that teeter-totter that when we are the ones that something happens outside of our control, we instantly fall into this is bad, I am going the wrong direction, you know, I'm sliding. And we, again, we go back to what we talked about earlier, this view of our sense of self is so easily shifted when we haven't calloused our mind to, you know what? I have to realize that, you know what, this week got away from me. You know, my family is a priority. You know, my work is as much of a priority. And so that has to shift, and it's okay. I can find another way to do this or shift or adjust or be flexible in how I'm viewing my training right now. We used to always view that if I got X, I would get Y. And at some point that's not a realistic thing. It's not realistic to always hold yourself to, said I was going to do 50 miles this week, I got 49, it's not good enough. Going out for that 1 mile at 9 p.m. on Sunday isn't going to make a difference in your training. Let me be the one to inform you of that sad, sad fact, that 1 mile does not make a difference. The reality is your mindset around this. So let's kind of dial this back, is that why do we really hate that regression? You know, I think for a lot of people, we're always comparing to that last best. And especially when we're in this position where maybe you've had an injury or, you know, it's been a longer time. Maybe it's been a couple months. Maybe it's been a couple years. And what do people do? They always then, when they start to train, they might do their first workout or their first couple of workouts. And when they're not seeing the numbers that they like, defeated, down, failure, you suck. Again, sense of self, bottom, under the shoe, just getting smushed back and forth. And we don't take this view of, I'm restarting. So the holding myself to the expectation of what I once was is pretty illogical. When we actually sit down and think about it, and we take that step back, which is often the hardest thing to do, is self-analyze, right? I think for a lot of people, they can step back weeks, days, months later. They can't do it seconds later. They can't get outside themselves quickly enough to say, why are you having this? This is a stupid thought. This is a dumb thing that's happening in my brain that I'm telling myself that I'm worthless when I just started, when I just came back. And if you're in this position and you're this person right now and you're listening and you're raising your hand saying, this sounds a lot like me, I will encourage you that next time you hit that wall and you haven't quite grown tall enough yet to see over it and you're struggling, you're bumping into it, you're hitting 2 miles on the treadmill before you start to get frustrated or defeated, or you're the person that's, you know, not seeing the times that they want to see because you've seen them before and you know you're capable of it, just take a moment and really assess about where you are. Are you in a position where you are actually ready to perform? Readiness is so important. Have you had enough sleep? Is your life stress low enough to a point where you can actually train at the level that you want to train at? Are all the other things in place that you need? And if the answer to that is no, then the expectation you have on yourself is too high. Okay, I'm not ever going to tell people lower your standard to meet your abilities. Always raise your abilities to meet your standard. But the reality is that more often than not, we are looking months and multiple cycles ahead to where we could be, and we're upset that we're not there yet. We won't allow ourselves to take one step forward because we can't jump 16 months ahead in training. And I realize now saying this to you guys that that does sound ridiculous, but it's where we often get, because it's very hard for us to take those first initial steps. It's very hard to go out and say, I'm going to go for 5 more minutes today, when the time that you're going out and running, which may be 20 minutes, 25 minutes, was a breeze before. Well, guess what, dude? You've regressed. You've fallen back. Let me be the one to tell you that you can't do that right now. And that's okay. You don't have to be able to do what you did to do what you want to do. You have to be able to look at this whole thing and say, oh, it's a mindset shift. I have to shift my mindset as a person and say, I am not who I was. I am now someone else. And because I've had an injury, that is wisdom. People always look at injuries and say, I had all these injuries and all these problems. Well, guess what it gives you? It gives you a lot of knowledge and understanding about, ooh, I am feeling kind of how I felt last time when I was about to get an injury. Now I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to rest. The luxury of control shows up right there and say, I'm the one that's in control, so I'm going to choose to rest today, and then I'm going to be able to go back at it tomorrow and get what I wanted, but I have to rest today to do that. And that is a complete and utter shift in mindset, because the person that originally got injured was probably, I'm going to keep grinding. I am so hard. I am just pure muscle. I'm fine. I'll grind this out. It didn't work, did it? Right? I think, and I'll say this and probably get lit up for it, I don't think you're truly an athlete and truly can say that you have experience in the sport until you've experienced loss in your sport. Until you've had an injury, until you've had a setback, you haven't had to climb back, right? And I think every time we go through that cycle of, you know, fall or injure or time gets sucked away and we regress, when we have to go back through that climb, each time we're climbing a different mountain. And I think a lot of us would just love to kind of run that ridge, right? From PR to PR and just continually run this great ridge of like, man, I just kept training, man, and I just PR after PR, and that's great. And sometimes in cycles and in life, like, you can have these years upon years where you just running that ridge, everything's pretty happy and good. But for those people that have been on that ridge for a long time, maybe the first time they really try to reach that next big mountaintop, they fall. And they take a fall, they take an injury, and then they have to go back. And you know what they try to do? They try to go run up the same mountain that they've been running up for years. Well, the whole point of this is to go and find different mountains, to take different approaches and realize that the person that was on the mountaintop before is somebody that you're never going to be again, right? I view life as an iterative process, and I'll explain that in a second. But the reality is that you should want to climb different mountains. You should seek different perspectives on your training. And heck, if you've got a really tough mountain to climb, guess what they do? By majority, you hire a guide, you hire a Sherpa, you hire somebody to lead you and guide you through all of the hard parts of the mountain. And they're the person that gives you that last little push to the top, right? As a coach, I'm that guide. I don't need to be at the top of the mountain. My love and my joy is guiding people through the dark, right? We've all heard of an alpine start, and you start in the dark, and you know what? Eventually you get into the light, and usually you're getting to the top of the mountain, hopefully right at sunrise, or maybe in the middle of the day when it's brightest and it's the most beautiful. Okay, but there's someone there that's guiding you through the dark. And this is the darkest that it gets. Regression is the hardest for people to get out of, because some people don't get out of it. Some people quit the sport. Some people decide to never lace up again. Some people decide that they're too tired and they no longer want to go through the hard part of getting through the dark to be able to get to the light. And the reality is that they may be unwilling or just do not desire to go through another iteration, to go through another fight. Now, you could look at iteration, meaning 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, as every cycle you've ever gone through in training. And maybe you've learned something. Maybe your perspective has shifted in each one of those. I think of it as, again, a bit more macro, a little bit bigger, a little bit wider, a little more expansive. I'll use myself as an example. My iteration 1.0 was probably Andrew in high school and middle school as a wrestler. That was the longest sport that I ever did. And then I stopped wrestling. I got injured, and I didn't really desire it because I knew that it wasn't going to take me anywhere. I wasn't going to go on to wrestle or do, and I did a little bit like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I never got into MMA. I didn't love the fighting side of it. I really just loved being around my friends, and it was a hard sport that, you know, gave me a lot. That was iteration kind of 1.0. After that, I gained a significant amount of weight, almost 90 pounds. And I really think that's where Andrew 2.0 came, right? I skipped a lot of iterations. There was a lot of probably 1.3, 1.4, 1.5. If I really looked hard, maybe it was the changing of the diet, the integration of exercise a little, right? I changed a little, these little iterations. And then eventually, you know, I moved into triathlon. That was probably Andrew, you know, maybe 3.0. And then from 3.0, I kind of worked my way up to an Ironman. So 3.1, 3.2, 3.3. And then I moved into a place of running where I just really loved running. And that's Andrew 4.0, where I ran and I ran and I ran. I've run 39 marathons by the time I'm recording this. And I think, oh, I broke my foot. That first real big stress fracture. I had my small little injuries. Those weren't iterations. But after that, I viewed training differently. So now we've got Andrew 4.1. And then I broke my navicular, you know, 16 months later. There's 4.2, training differently. Maybe looking more at strength training and really saying, man, maybe I should practice what I preach. And I started practicing and practicing and practicing. And I feel like I'm now at kind of this Andrew 5.0 where I'm giving myself more of a break, that when I am tired, that yes, I could go out and grind through that, but the next day I'm even further behind on my recovery. And I'd much rather go into my runs and my workouts recovered and execute, because right now that's what I need as a person. I need to feel like I can nail my workouts before I can start to maybe go into things a little less recovered and really be tired and work through that exhaustion and that fatigue that's required at the marathon. That's why I'm racing a half, because I have to prove to myself that I'm ready, to get back to fighting for those PRs again, because I feel like I'm closer, right? And to say that on a podcast, old version of me, probably iteration 3.0, putting it out into the world, my big goal of, you know, breaking 80 minutes and a half, it would have petrified me. It would have terrified me, because now guess what? I feel like I have to, you know, go and do that. If I run 1:23 in 12 days, am I going to be upset? No. You know why? Because I took a step forward. I put myself on the line and I said, I think I'm capable of this, and I might come up short. I might get way ahead. I'm still understanding where my fitness is and getting confident with it again. Confidence is something that we build over time, just like wisdom. And so with this iterative process, I would encourage all of you guys that are listening, and I realize this is a little bit of a heady, kind of out there episode for some of you, this is a great time to self-reflect and say, man, how far have I come in this journey? What are the chapters or iterations of my journey with running so far? Where have the major shifts come from? Where has my personal growth come from in this time? And what I will encourage all of you guys to do is learning to relax a little bit and kind of have a trust fall with your training, is that at the end of the day, you can only trust in that, right? You can trust in how you feel about yourself and what you've done to get there. And you're always going to hit a point in a race where it's like, all right, I either got to dig in or slide back. And I will say, have a trust fall with your training. Be willing to fall back on your training and let it carry you. And guess what? If you come up short, guess what you get to do next time you train for a race? You get to think about that moment. You get that moment to say, okay, I got to this point of discomfort and I just couldn't quite get beyond it. But that's okay, because that's where you want to push yourself in training. Because now you have a mark. And when you get to that mark in training, maybe it's in the long run, or maybe you missed just some part of your training before that, and you just got to get here. You just got to get on the other side of that. And you may be able to go way up here, but it's to get across here, right? That growth, to be able to go from just underneath the bar to being able to get eye level, to get, you know, chest level with it. That's where the growth happens. And sometimes that's not just speed work, people. Sometimes that's not just going harder. Sometimes it's going back 10 steps, rebuilding your entire base of fitness, and allowing yourself the permission to restart again. Sometimes regression is intentional, right? I need to go back. I need to kind of clear out everything and push it all to the sides, right? We've probably all cleaned out a room or a closet, And it's just, it's been, you go in there and you hate it. It just makes your skin crawl. You know what you do that makes you feel good? You pull everything out of it and you go through it and you're like, right? I think of Marie Kondo. This doesn't, you know, bring joy, and you're just throwing things over your shoulder, kind of in this mat. I don't need to do this. I don't need this. And then you just put the things back in the closet. And every time you open it from there on, you're like, I know exactly where the light bulbs are. This is great. I love it. And for months, you're like, this is what I needed to do. And sometimes it inspires change throughout the entire house. And you're going through and pulling things out, and you're saying, man, I'm just getting rid of this clutter. Because sometimes when we don't allow ourselves to restart and regress back, we don't allow ourselves to actually enjoy the process of training, right? You've probably heard it from many people like David Roach and all sorts of other people, to have a certain amount of joy in your training and to enjoy this kind of hunt and this process. And you can only really do that once you've actually allowed yourself the permission to be back at square one and do it because it's intentional, that you are the one that made the choice to go back. Because if it always feels like it's loss, it's loss, it's loss, humans, we have a massive loss aversion. We would far rather not lose than lose, plain and simple. But when we allow ourselves the permission to start back at square one and say, dude, hell yeah, made it 5 more minutes today, I'm doing awesome, that is way easier for us to continue to drive forward and say, I'm going to go for 10 minutes next week, and then I'm going to go for 20 minutes. And we can start getting really excited, and we're not worried about who we once were, because that is a different iteration. We have shifted our mindset from over here and looking over here. It's often looking behind us and saying, oh God, who I once was is back there. The reality is that who you need to be is right here. And that person needs to look forward, because the person that's behind you, that person that was fast or faster, doesn't serve you anymore. That person has old skills, old abilities. New mindset is here. And it's looking forward, and it's allowing yourself to restart and look forward. So if you are in the position where you are restarting and rebuilding and have to go through this, is take the time to make sure that you feel like you've had a chance to declutter that mental closet and kind of throw out those thoughts of who you once were, right? I had to do it. Many of my athletes have had to go through the process of just saying, I don't have to worry, right? I think about it like this. I have an athlete who went after a race, he hired me, and we went after a really big goal, and we missed our cutoff by like 7 minutes. Like 7 minutes in a race that takes 16 hours is nothing. And thought it was a massive failure. And we had to shift that mindset to, oh, I think I can do this. We signed up for another race that was just like this, not the exact same race, same distance, same style of obstacle course race. And you know what happened? When that mindset shifted to, I just need to get to my cutoff. I need to hit the first cutoff. So instead of looking at this huge expansive thing he had to do, he said, I just got to get halfway. If I can get halfway, I know I can get to the finish. And we smashed it. He got to that cutoff, excited, happy, and ready to go. He murdered it, killed it, came back. And you know what he got out of that? It was a renewed sense of self that he was now capable of more than he thought. And that wall that he'd come up against, because mind you, that race that even though we failed at it, he'd failed multiple times before that to finish. And so he kept hitting a wall because he didn't have the fitness or the experience or didn't give himself the permission to really build his training so that that wall was no longer the hard thing. I'm really excited to see where we can get in September, right? I think that personal growth, we see it already happening in training. We see that he's becoming faster and more capable than ever before. So what I will tell you guys is this, and I will leave you guys this little thought, is that one can relinquish fitness. The other can really fear loss. And what I mean with that is we have to look at the mindset is that the person that's often behind us fears loss more than relinquishing a little fitness in the moment. Is that sometimes you have to let what you think is really good fitness, let go and be willing to go all the way back to the start, even though you thought you had a lot of great tools built here. And sometimes you have to fully be willing to restart the process. Be able to look at it and say, this was good, but I want great. How do I get to great? So be willing to tear all of the things out of your mental closet, throw it all out, only put the things that you enjoy. And again, this does not always mean just choosing the workouts that feel good or the ones that you succeed at. Because then we also get into a really funky point of we're keeping out pieces of training because maybe we're afraid of them. We still have to confront fear. This isn't a fearless or a no fear type of training. This is that we have to take the steps forward, follow a plan, follow a structure, and confront those moments of discomfort and celebrate getting through those moments of discomfort in our small little ways. Patting ourselves in the back because before we were punching ourselves in the head. Which would you rather do? Would you rather punch your head all day or pat yourself in the back? I'd much rather pat myself on the back. So don't fear loss. Be willing to restart. Regression is a normal part of training. Regression is a necessary part of training, just as rest. Be willing to reclimb and start back at the trailhead. And don't worry about not just hitting the ridge and climbing and seeing every summit at sunrise. Be willing to climb through the dark. Be willing to restart again and allow yourself the permission to leave the person that you are behind. Have a new iteration and allow yourself to grow. With that, I will leave you guys. I hope this was a helpful and insightful episode. I hope it gave you guys something to think about and gives you a chance to self-reflect. I look forward to having you guys again next week for another episode. We'll see you guys later.